Christmas is often referred to as the most joyful, Tucker said, the most joyful time of the year. And I agree. The shopping, the giving, the receiving, the lights, the sights, the sounds, the smells, oh, Christmas is filled with joy. I love Christmas. It's a time of family, sometimes a little stress. At times of friends, sometimes they're obnoxious. And it's the time of fudge, which is always good, always good. Joy, joy. The Bible is filled with the language of joy as well. In the Old Testament alone, there are 13 Hebrew roots and 27 different words for joy or rejoice. The Hebrews understood joy. The Hebrew word for joy literally means to leap or spin around in pleasure. Sounds a lot like dancing to me. In the New Testament, joy is also present. Joy is defined as gladness, bliss, and celebration. Joy pulsates throughout all of Scripture. Joy is a profound, compelling quality of life that transcends the events. A joy that transcends the events and the disasters and the despair which even affects God's people. You see, joy is not the same as happiness. I've said that so often, but it's hard for me to still apply it to my life. Happiness is tied to circumstances. Happiness at best is fleeting and fickle, but not joy. Joy is constant. Joy is continuous. Joy is consuming. Max Lucado wrote in one of his books, joy is the result of recognizing the presence of Christ in our world, in our life, deep in our soul. Sarah Levine read that familiar passage this morning from Luke chapter 2. Let me pick up where she ended. Even last week, I preached on 13. The great host of heaven, the host appeared with the angel praising God. Glory to God, they said. And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left and gone back into the heavens, the shepherds said one to another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. That familiar, glorious text of Luke 2. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, born in a feeding trough for animals. Imagine. In my mind's eye, there were always a lot of animals present at that birth. Though the Scriptures don't tell us of any angels, surely there were animals all around that stable that night. And shepherds. Shepherds who've been in the field simply doing what they always did, taking care of their flock, have now come to Bethlehem to see the thing that the angel had told them about. The angel gives the shepherds a special invitation. A special invitation to shepherds. Shepherds. Shepherds on the social scale in the first century Israel were at the bottom. We tend to romanticize shepherds. We think of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. We think of Jesus as our great shepherd. But first century shepherds were not very romantic in any way. The life of a shepherd was something you never wanted your young boy or girl to grow up to be. No, not a shepherd, but the angel. And the angel chorus comes to shepherds and says, fear not. I always love that. Fear not. I can tell you, if shepherds appear to me, I'm going to fear. I'm going to fear a lot. A lot. But the angel said, fear not. We bring you this great news. We bring you the gospel. It's a gospel of joy. A gospel of joy for all people. And the angel chorus breaks out in song. And they're singing glory to God in the highest. Glory, glory to God. Then the angels disappear as quickly as they appear to the shepherds. And don't you know the shepherds were just a wee bit stunned. They look at each other. And one finally says, there's always one, let's go. Let's go. Let's go find that baby. Let's go. Come on, leave the sheep. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go. Let's go. And for some odd reason, they did. They left their sheep, and they go and find Mary and Joseph somehow, and the baby in the stable. Jesus, King Jesus, Jesus Emmanuel, Messiah, wrapped in bands of cloth, or as the King James taught us, swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Not dressed as a king, dressed in rags of poverty. This baby not born of privilege or of status or of stature, but a baby born in a manger. This was a shepherd baby. An ordinary baby wrapped in rags. One moment the angel chorus is sitting around the shepherds, and the next moment the shepherds are sitting around the Savior of the world. That announcement, that joyful announcement, is that the gospel, the good news, is for all people, yes, even lowly shepherds. Don't miss that. That with the arrival of Jesus Christ, with the announcement made by the angels to that band of shepherds, their life changed. Now, their social standing didn't change one bit. Suddenly, the world didn't say, oh, shepherds, we love shepherds. Shepherds, if angels appear to them, then they must be good and trustworthy and scholarly gentlemen. I want my girl to grow up to be a shepherd. It didn't happen. Their wages didn't double. Their wages probably didn't increase. They probably lost wages for leaving the sheep wandering around the pasture at night by themselves. The shepherds were still shepherds. Poor, scorned, poverty-ridden, despised, despicable, lowly shepherds. But the lives of these shepherds were changed forever. Not the outward circumstances, but their inward perspective. Their joy was found deep within. The joy of the shepherds transcended all their circumstances, for they had experienced Jesus. They had encountered Messiah, Savior, King Jesus, and their encounter with Jesus allowed them to rise above their situation, to rise above their position, and they were filled with joy. The glory and the joy of Christmas. Not only are shepherds able to rise above their position in life and be filled with joy, but that joy, shepherd's joy, is possible for every single one of us in this congregation today. Now wait just a moment, you may say. There's not a lot of joy in my life this day or this year. be honest, some would say, Pastor, I'm pretty miserable. I'm lonely. I'm afraid. I'm mad. I'm sad. I'm burdened. And those are legitimate reasons. This week, someone told me, this past week, I can't wait for 2019 to end. It's been one sorry year. As I look at this congregation, some of you, this past year, you've lost. You've lost that one, that spouse who fulfilled you, that spouse who did life with you, that soulmate. Part of you's gone. Not only does Christmas feel empty and confusing, life has felt empty and confusing for weeks and months. This whole year, there's a hole in your heart. Maybe it wasn't a spouse, it was a parent or a sibling or a child. You feel so lost. On this Sunday of joy, you would just as soon not be here. Others have lost jobs. That job that seemed so secure last Christmas. That job that was going to be here that would continue and you'd retire, maybe retire early, but it ended. It's gone. Others this morning are dealing with terminal illness or maybe worse, it's not your illness, but it's the illness of the one that you love. It's that family member who struggles that illness. And you would say, God, give it to me. Take it from them. Maybe it's not terminal illness, but it's a terminal marriage. And some of us may feel guilty for celebrating with joy, knowing that there's such hurt and crisis all around us. Too near us, there are folks who are hurting. Our world seems so confused. Our nation seems so divided. How dare we celebrate? But remember, joy is not happiness. I'm talking about joy. Joy that is not tied to circumstances, but joy that is the result of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's joy. I hope you've been reading and enjoying the First Baptist Advent devotional guide. I have loved every day. And I've tried not to read ahead, like some of you have read all of them and are reading them way ahead. I've tried not to do that. I haven't always succeeded, but I've tried. That was my goal, not to read ahead, but I did this week. I don't believe Maddie Nicholson, are you here? I don't think the Nicholsons are here today. This coming Saturday, I want you to read Maddie. Maddie's a freshman at Lufkin High School. Maddie wrote, as a teenager, finding joy every day can be difficult. The stress of school can take away your joy. The academic pressure to excel is great with homework, tests, projects that can be beyond stressful. I always try to do my best, but sometimes my best is not enough. Finding the right friends, not falling into peer pressure, and making good choices every day is sometimes a challenge. These things can certainly take joy out of my day, but I try to make an effort to choose joy. Maddie continues, I find joy in many areas of my life, my church family, my youth group, along with my supportive family and great friends. These aspects of my life not only bring joy, but make joy something I can always count on. Now listen, freshman in high school, Maddie says, the source of my joy is not in the things I have, the material things, but in the things that really matter in life, my family and my friends, and most important, my relationship with Jesus. this Christmas, choose joy. Try not to focus on the stress of life or the sadness that may come with the holiday season, but instead focus on the joy that comes through Jesus this Christmas. And the days after, Maddie says, I choose joy. Sunday, December the 15th, 2019, behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all. Don't be afraid. Keep pressing onward. Hold on tight, for there is a Savior who was born in a lowly manger. He is Christ, our Lord. Do you know Him? Have you found Jesus like the shepherds found Him? Have you experienced the hope that He brings and the peace that He offers and the joy He longs for you to experience, even in the midst of difficulties? I hope you have. You can. This joy I speak of, the world didn't give it to you, and the world can't take it away. Thanks be to God. Shall we pray? Oh God, thank you for joy. Thank you for happiness when it occurs. Thank you for those happy days and happy moments. But God, when happiness disappears, when happiness gives way to hurt and despair and confusion and the stuff of life, thank you that joy is still there. Joy in Christ. Joy in a relationship with God through Christ. Joy in the midst of it all. Let us, oh God, let us choose joy. You've given it. Let us claim it, hang on to it, and live in it, is my prayer in Christ Jesus. Amen.